And hello, everyone. We interrupt this little pod here to go on live. And I have John McCann coming on with me. So welcome, John.
Thank you, Steve. How are you?
How are you? This is a little bit different, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, you know, as I was saying to you there, it's very difficult to be coming on and doing shows. Steve does about 600 shows a week, different stations and everything. And he's been good enough to host me every week now for the last 25 years or something like that. Seems like the poor man is worn out.
It's only about 550.
Yeah, well, there you go. And it's difficult to keep it going. And but people like to hear debating
live,
and
live content, yeah.
Live content and stuff like that. And it is difficult, folks, to come up with different angles and maybe on similar subjects or whatever, you know. And we don't, you know, it's very hard to get guests on and that probably fit in or don't fit in or something, you know. So I said I'd go on with Steve, and I'm better off, I think, behind the microphone than I am listening sometimes and browsing through the internet. I'd have to stop looking at the Facebook thing for a while because it's doing my head in.
Gets depressing, doesn't it?
It's rather, I don't know what it is. I think it's a psyop.
Well, certainly it is. Certainly it is. It's, you know, I believe it's meant to...
We all have opinions, you know.
Yeah. I believe it's meant to depress everyone.
Yeah. It's always... I was just looking at some things today and this Pokemon thing over there in the States. Hundreds of people walking down this... So I don't know what you call it, like a key into the water, searching for this stupid little figure that nobody can find, or whatever, you know, on a phone app. And lots of, I see lately there's a huge amount of anti-Christian stuff coming up and tied in with anti-Muslim, you know, tied in with anti something else. And everybody's anti everything, you know. So I think I'll start a page to say I'm anti, because it kind of makes you think about, because we all get angry about stuff. You know, whether our anger is to the point, you know, or whether it's correct. And then we print in something, and somebody takes the meaning of it totally different. And then it goes into another thread. People calling you an idiot and all this kind of stuff, and then you have politics coming in, you know, people who don't like what we do and don't like anybody that's kind of even associated with us, because these people are politically motivated, socialists and stuff, and they behave like thugs, but they're very good writers, some of them, you know. And we have a splurge of Holocaust, Irish Holocaust thing lately in the Independent today. This lady, I can't think of her name, she's an obnoxious woman. And because we've been doing this for a while, I'm sure most of you listening as well can spot somebody who is establishment, wants to keep the status quo, wants to upset everybody, doesn't want anybody to change their thinking. They're very clever people. They're very good at writing. So you get all this mixture during the day or whatever you're looking at it. And it's a roller coaster of emotions. And it's a roller coaster of the mind. And then, sadly, Steve, I look at America. And I say, what is happening in America? Trump and Hillary. Where are we going?
I've got a feeling about this particular election here. I don't know about prophecies or, you know, any kind of thing, what happens to be going on in this country, but somebody has said, both of us know that this is probably going to be the last election series that we have in America, whether there's going to be some sort of a all-out revolution or some kind of a civil war between races or anything like that, but Hillary is probably going to be elected, in my opinion. I think a lot of this stuff that's going on here. Either Hillary's going to be elected or Obama is going to stay in office, one or the other. So I don't...
That's interesting, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't consider Obama staying in office.
Well, if there's some sort of presidential candidate shot or killed or something like that, or maybe Trump bows out just before the election and nobody's there to fill his spot, or nobody worth a hoot anyways is going to fill his spot. And
that's interesting, Steve. That's an interesting take on it. Yeah, it's quite possible, isn't it? Anything is possible nowadays.
Well, if there's some sort of presidential shooting, they're going to suspend the election and, going to be the, I think that's called the October surprise or something like that, or September surprise or whatever it is. I don't know.
September surprise.
Whatever the case is. Yeah. I just don't see these people that are in control relinquishing their control. I see it only getting worse.
Mm. Well, they're panicking a bit, so expect something, I suppose. But I don't know what you can expect these days. They've gone to the ridiculous. It's gone, absolutely ridiculous with everything. And they don't like, so a lot of people are finding out stuff about them. And there was a very interesting, I don't have it, link, and it was a Congress over there, and there was some senator or something, and he was giving out to them to say that the guys in Congress haven't got access to emails, Hillary's emails, or other governmental things that are happening behind the scenes, because one body, let's say the CIA, I can't recall all the synonyms of the different bodies, but they can't do it. Let's say my department, I can't allow Steve to see something, and Steve can't allow me to see something, and they can't allow Mahatma Co to see something, and Mahatma Co can't let Laurie see something, and it just smacks of secrecy everywhere.
Uh-huh.
So, and this was a man in Congress, and he was putting it to them, and I thought that was alarming. Now, we know that goes on, and I know there are certain things that they can't, obviously, turn around and say, well, we can't tell you exactly,
On a need-to-know basis.
Hmm?
Need-to-know basis, yeah.
Absolutely. But when the guys in Congress can't get access to certain things and it's being broadcast to the world, the transparency thing goes out the window. The world is sick of the America versus Russia thing, And
Obama versus Bush? Or Bush versus Clinton? Is that what you mean?
Inside America, it's just the same crew, isn't it, really?
Certainly it is.
It's the same in every country.
Yeah. They're all related. They're all in the same family.
Yeah, and they all have buckets of money, and the cost of running these campaigns and everything, and then you have Sanders just disappearing all of a sudden. Ah, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
What the hell is that about?
Well, I think he was given a choice. Push up daisies or go back to being a senator. Go on with your life. Be killed or stay alive. I don't know.
Yeah, it's quite possible. All right, anything is possible.
Do you know the former Minnesota governor and former WWE wrestler Jesse Ventura?
Oh yeah, yes. I'm not sure about that guy.
Yeah. Well, I heard him say one time on an interview quite a few years ago that politics is just like professional wrestling. You bicker back and forth when the camera's on you, and you're fighting like cats and dogs when you're in front of the camera. But once the cameras get turned off, they're the best of friends, and they go out and have dinner and have drinks together and have a lot of fun.
Well, it all reminds me of the film Idiocracy.
Yeah.
Everybody by now has seen the clip of Trump at a wrestling bout, and the bet was to shave their head. Remember? Did you see that one?
No, I haven't seen that one yet.
He pretends to attack one of the wrestlers. And that, to me, epitomizes the state of politics, the state of the wrestling. I don't understand how people follow that wrestling thing at all. Don't see it for what it is. It may be kind of a circus entertainment.
It is. That's what it is. Just the entertainment.
Take it so seriously. And to take our politics so seriously, well, I think every country does. I saw a good video of Larkin Rose, and he was calling politics the new religion, and he put it into a good perspective, you know, that people are so devoted to one particular party, or devoted to a leader, or devoted to something, and the passion and the tears and the arguments, and you know, then you have people saying things like, well, if you're going to vote for Hillary, what do you think of our policies? And you don't know what their policies are, or ask any, it doesn't matter whether it's Trump or Hillary, and none of them know what their policies are.
Well, most of the common voters don't even care about politics. They just vote Democrat or Republican because, well, their parents told them to. Or their parents did, one or the other, you know.
Same here, yeah. And the rhetoric between them, and in the end of the day, nothing happens, nothing changes, except that they make more jets and armaments and bombs and various bits and pieces. And somebody came up today, I don't know where it is, but of the amount of tax dollars that goes to the certain elements of society, and the welfare thing in America, probably out of every $100 or your yearly income, the amount that goes to that aspect, and the majority of it goes to other aspects, and yet they blame the people on welfare, you know. But it's tiny compared to where the money goes to other aspects of things. And I'm not talking about roads either. So, I don't know. People are very confused. I get confused about it myself. Some days you think you have things worked out. And other days you say, hold on a second. And these are, have all these academics behind the scenes coming up with memes, coming up with slogans, coming up with everything. People just get headlong into this rush of an election thinking, hey, that things might change. They never change. Been reading articles from our own so-called parliament here over the last 50-60 years, and nothing has changed, absolutely nothing. Might have different names, or they might have a different color coat on, or they might have something, but that's about it. The logos change, but the policies never change. I'm doing a lot of reading, and the more I read about the past, where all, I think all the good writing was 100 years ago, around that time, where people could write really well. And to me, nothing has changed whatsoever. I'm reading something at the moment, and the Freemasons keep coming up in it, and it was written a long time ago, and it was about the Russian royalty, I suppose you could call them. So essentially, we have parties, and then we have royalty and the royal families, the Tsars and the English royals and so-called royal families around the world. And then we have political parties, and then behind it all is this class structure, royalty all the way down, you know?
Yeah. I wanted to make a comment about Mahat just put in there about people in the alternate media. Imagine Putin is against the so-called New World Order, when it's no different to party politics on a geopolitical scale. They're all business partners at the end of the day, two cheeks of the same arse. I've heard it said that nearly all of the world's intelligence agencies and all of the world's governments are in contact, and they're all, you know, they're all working on the same agenda. I find it very, very hard to fathom that the Russians were ever an enemy of the United States or any other country, when there was two phones that were directly connected. One went to, one went right to Moscow, and what's his name back in 1961? His name escapes me now, but
Khrushchev,
yeah, and Kennedy. You know, there's a story out there that Khrushchev had called Kennedy many, many times during the Cuban Missile Crisis, and he said, allegedly, he said, we've got to work something out. These people that are in control over here are trying to get me to bomb America. He said, what can we work out? What kind of a peaceful resolution can we work out? But yet, while he was in front of the cameras, he was all about destroying America, you know?
Yeah. Imagine having that responsibility.
Yeah.
Wow. This is what makes me wonder about, from just not a human level, how do they sleep? How do they eat? How do they just get on with life? Being constantly in the public eye, going from here to there, trying to come up with solutions, but there are no solutions, but to come up with ideas and come up with things and tell the people this and tell the people do press conferences and fly here and do another press conference, go fly over there, speak to different people from different countries, like leaders of different countries. Well, they would work together. Well, we have Interpol, at least. So we have intelligence gathering for criminality, going back a long time now. Communication systems are much better, a lot better than when they went to the moon.
Yeah. Have you ever seen the pictures of Bush and Putin together in their Masonic garbs?
Yes, I have.
Yeah.
Sometimes, well, it's getting to the stage now where you don't know on Facebook particularly, which I think is where most of the stuff news is coming in, whether a lot of the stuff, and I know it is, photoshopped. You can't tell whether anything is really real anymore.
Yeah.
You just can't anymore. It's impossible.
Did you see that video last week? They can take somebody in real time that's in front of a camera, and they can manipulate their voices and their facial facial gestures in real time. And they've probably been able to do that for a long, long time. I know that they've had the technology out there for a long time. They can take just a minute or so of somebody's voice, and they can virtually copy it with 100% accuracy to any script they want.
Now, I've seen clever videos of the woman Obama, that was cleverly edited, pieced together, and the shot would go away from Obama to an audience.
Yeah.
There's no telling that audience was anything to do with what Obama was doing, you know.
Or whether they were even there. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. But the frightening thing is that I spent the last few weeks saying to people, no, that's fake.
Yeah.
And you kind of get abused for it, you know.
Uh-huh.
There was one up recently, the last few days, where it's supposed to be a satanic ritual killing over at CERN. And I said, no, that's... Yeah. If you ask a simple question, why didn't the guy just ring the police?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I got totally abused for it. I was called all the greatest idiots that ever lived.
Yeah.
So the danger is now that everybody is, a lot of people who are probably new to something, whatever, if some information suits what we're thinking, we may just go along with it, you know. And if you diss it and say, no, hold on, folks, let's get a bit more discerning here. Why would somebody... just on the phone, yeah, it looked genuine that the guy was very scared and all the rest of it.
Uh-huh.
But if you see that video, at the end of the video, there's a shot in it where it's an eye, you know, the one eye thing, but it's only like part of a second. And so you ask a simple question, why didn't the guy ring the police?
Yeah.
You're an idiot, you know, this stuff is going on all the time and people are being killed. Yeah, can't disagree with that. But you're talking about the actual post that somebody put up, and the people who put it up, they're not saying that it's fact either.
Yeah, yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know,
I'm not one to jump on the, well, you mentioned the Holocaust earlier, John. You know, I'm not one to jump on the train and say that it was all a fake. I'm just not willing to do that. I wasn't there, and I don't know all the particulars. But... there is something interesting that's been out there for, I don't know, at least 5 or 6 years now that I've seen. And it shows, I think he's a Scot or something. At least he sounds like a Scot anyways. There's a video out there where he lays out like 10 different papers. And he shows these papers range from, I think, like 1909 all the way up to 1939. And they all have this one article in them, and they virtually say the same kind of thing. 6 million Jews been persecuted and this, that, and the other thing. You can almost lay all of these articles out in these 10 different papers. And these papers run from like a 35 to 40 year range. And they're different news agencies also, but they all virtually say the same thing.
Stock reporting, you know?
Yeah.
It's like the stock photographs on Google, you know, for advertising and stock photographs for this, and somebody buys them up, probably stock articles, particularly at summertime, particularly. This side of the pond, the news is absolute rubbish, because to give the effect that, you know, well, the governments are actually on holidays.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We have nothing to talk about, you know.
Yeah.
So pretty soon, I noticed over the years, I have, I suppose, at this stage, because I've been looking at various things, I have seen the patterns, certain patterns. Come September, next month, you will see the usual very huge snowstorms predicted for winter, you know. We're all going to freeze to death. Traffic chaos. And every year, there's the same subjects keep coming up. I haven't seen it this year, but usually every year in Ireland around the summer, they talk about cot deaths. That comes up a lot. Pretty soon now you'll have the winter, the weather warnings for predictions for the coming winter. And then the politics comes back into it in a few weeks. And it's kind of like stock, lazy journalism, sensational journalism. I don't read papers anymore. Well, that's not true. I glanced through the one of the Sunday papers because it's given to me. And sometimes you find articles in it that are of interest or to keep an eye on things in the future, you know. But if I go into the shop and I look at a row of newspapers, they've reached such a low that when it's the Sun and the Mirror and all these tabloids, now the others are not supposed to be tabloids, are using the same techniques by putting up silly words and mixing up words, you know. And generally what they're trying to tell you is that there's some evil person loose in the community after doing a spell, doing something somewhere, and he's terrorized the whole country, you know. It's very depressing, you know. And then you get academics coming on and they won't talk about anything. And they just come along and revamp or regurgitate, as you say, some stuff from 40 years ago or 50 years ago. And
well, challenges it. Nobody challenges academia anymore. I mean, they're just, if you even twitch your eye sideways at a professor or anything like that, you know, you get chastised and
you don't get paid.
You don't get the government contracts.
Well, there's a funny thing happening with the newspapers is that if you look at a newspaper, and because we're all on the internet a lot of the time, see if anybody has any news about something, particularly anybody who's in the activist sort of term, if that's the correct term, and waiting for news, or somebody might be doing something, or somebody has discovered or found something interesting. The thing about a newspaper is you can't either press like or disagree with it, or write in a text and say, I disagree with that, you know? And that, to me, is an amazing thing, because anything that goes in print and put into a newspaper, people read it and it's put there and put into people's minds, and there is no recourse to disagree with any journalist in any newspaper unless you write a letter to the editor, which the editor might print some other time during the week. Whereas on the internet, if somebody viper up something and someone thinks it's stupid or whatever, they'll tell you straight away. They'll either like it or they won't like it, or they might add to it or totally disagree. So we're getting used to having our opinions being put into print, as it were, and across the internet. And the newspapers are losing out from that fact. But this is where the power came from, the newspapers, because nobody can disagree with something that's being printed last night for tomorrow morning's tonight or tomorrow morning's reading.
Yeah.
Whereas the internet, you have some recourse. You can set up your own site. You can set up your own blog page. You can write articles if you want to. The only problem I find at the moment is that a lot of the stuff that people are writing about is even as trashy as the newspapers are, which I think is a deliberate ploy by somebody, probably the powers that be, that they don't want anybody that have a serious thoughts about anything. So when that happens, they deliberately put up something somewhere along the way to take people's mind off serious things, you know. And then you have people putting up on Facebook, sorry for talking about serious matters here, you know. Carry on putting up a photograph of your dinner, you know, all these so-called funny memes and comments. And the other irritating thing is that to take a picture of a Hollywood actor and put up something that he's supposed to say, which coincides with the person who initiated it, and they're thinking on maybe religion or perhaps politics or something. And I don't know whether it's just me, but when I think that you see the majority of or let's say a good lot of people thinking the way that you thought you were thinking, I get scared with that.
Yeah. I don't want to digress too much there, John, but you know, I've gotten a lot of weird looks over the last couple of years when I tell people, well, I kind of ask them who they thought won World War II, and they look, you know, they look dumbfounded. And I said, well, this isn't a rhetorical question. I'd like your opinion. Who won World War II? And they said, well, the Americans and the British did. Well, really? Did they? And then I start going through some evidence and stuff like that. Well, over a thousand Nazi scientists alone, not even counting the high-ranking Nazi officials and officers, including Hitler himself. There's actually no proof whatsoever. The Russians are still investigating where Hitler went. They've never seriously put out any kind of proof of where, mm-hmm. proving that he died. There are stories that the corpse that they got was actually a woman.
Okay. With a little mustache, had she?
I don't know about a mustache or anything, but, you know, they burnt that corpse. They poured gallons and gallons of gasoline on it.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's interesting. All right. And, of course, the Russians had no part to play in quashing the onslaught of the Nazis.
No.
Yeah.
No, they had a pretty big genocide themselves.
Yeah. But, well, that all comes from Hollywood, doesn't it? We all went to the cinema, or the pictures, as we called them.
Uh-huh.
Which I think is a better term than the movies. I just don't like the term movies. But it's not even a word, is it? Pictures is a picture, you know. And moving pictures, fine. But movies. What's move? Who movies? You know, anyway, that's just a peccadillo of mine. But
Mahat, hey, there's a funny cat video. Ooh, look, there's a picture of someone's tea.
Exactly.
Distraction.
25 of the funniest dog pictures you've ever seen.
I know, I've been posting enough of them myself here lately, so I can't. Cats and dogs.
Steve is absolutely responsible for that. If you see anything, that's Steve's fault. I'm telling you now. Got this punch on for cats and tea. And, even I like tea, as you know, Mahat. But I'm not that mad about it now, you know.
Get Simon Cowell to sign the cat. I don't know what that's going to do, but does Simon Cowell like assigning things? Or
Simon Cowell is the guy who runs the X Factor.
Yeah, but does he give his signature out much? Or I'm not sure what that's referring to.
I don't know. I try and not watch anything about that absolutely despicable destroyer of music and
destroyer of talent.
Yes, for monetary gain. People don't realize it must cost millions for each episode of that.
Well, you don't really need talent anymore to make it into the music industry or entertainment or anything like that. You don't really need talent. You just have to have a certain look, and you have to be able to dance and you know. How many of these young people that are in the music industry, how many of them play an instrument or anything like that?
Well, it all started, I think, with X Factor, when they started to call vocal groups bands.
Yeah.
You know, I'm starting a boy band and nobody plays an instrument. How could that be classed as a band?
Yeah.
It's impossible. It can't possibly be. Unless they're singing an a cappella all the time, fine. But they're not bands. I know some of them play instruments, but you don't see them. You know, and it's totally despicable. It's the lowest common denominator again. So I think it's time we try to be discerning. We try to learn things, and we try to. I mean, I've learned an awful lot since I started on the radio. I have to say, and it has encouraged me to read an awful lot more, which is always something that I wanted to do. And now I'm kind of pushed into it because we deal with so many different types of topics, and we're searching for solutions and various things. So I'm very grateful for all of that, but I can't see many other people doing it outside of people who have some intent to sort of change things or whatever, you know. I don't know what I want to change into anything anymore, really, because I really don't know. And
well, they're just waiting on us old people to get older and die, so they can have their young people that are into the into all of this entertainment, and you know, they can have their technically operated New World Order. I don't know.
Yeah, we could start a quiz right now. How many people can name 10 Pokemon characters?
Do you want to go do some Mark Dice videos, huh?
Or Mark Dice. Who's the used to like Mark Dice till I saw the one last week where he slated that young girl, that black girl, and his commentary was absolutely disgraceful. I can't remember what she did or what happened.
I guess I missed that one.
Oh, man. It's like, well, I had an idea about the guy, but I like his videos asking people questions. But it's very clever how he asks the question. So people are usually taken aback. He uses certain words, so that he pronounces certain words in a particular way that they think they're hearing something, and they're usually walking by, or they're probably trying to avoid him, you know. It's the ones where they actually stop and they ask them, like, who won the Civil War, or when it was, or what date was the Second World War, and who won, and they're, you want to scream at them. But there's an awful lot of psychology in what he does as well. But the one that he put up last week, or somebody put it up last week, was absolutely disgraceful. It was racist. It was a Piers Morgan, Simon Cowell, BBC at their worst, The Sun, The Mirror, all these rags and everything, all put into one. And his cocky, arrogant voice over the whole thing, it was absolutely disgraceful. So I think Mark Dice might be heading for the dump somewhere, you know, hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully he is.
Because if that's the way he thinks, literally, well, unbelievable. And he's no better than Simon Cowell and all these people at the end of the day, which is sad, you know.
Well, I used to like Mark Dice and Alex Jones until, you know, there's just too many things that going on with Alex Jones. And, well, I was, you see, it's been a couple of years ago now that Mark Dice still had a regular profile, and I was friends with him.
Okay.
And he still had Facebook friends and that until he changed it over, and now just a fan page or whatever. But right. I was listening to Alex Jones one day, and they were in their little spat, you know, they were still in their dispute in that, and he come up and said some good things about Mark Dice, and he wasn't slamming him, and I sent Dice a message, and I said, yeah, hey, what's up there, Mark? Did you and Alex Jones kiss and make up? And he said, no, not that I know of. Then I explained to him in the message there, and lo and behold, it wasn't very long after that, Mark Dice was on Alex Jones again, and they were all buddy-buddies.
Right, yeah.
So.
Graham is telling me to have faith, the tide is turning. I hope I'm not coming across too negative, folks. Some people have been saying to me that being negative, but I'm not trying to be negative. I'm trying to sort of play devil's advocate or something, you know. I don't go with the herd, you know. And I remember saying to Vin, said, if we ever become mainstream, I'm out of here. So I kind of operate like that. And it might come across as a bit negative, but I think that we have to be more discerning about what we do. And I'm not saying that I get it right. Far from it. I need direction from other people. I need feedback from other people to see where we're going. Because in the last few years, because of this word research, by the way, folks, research is not looking for a YouTube video. You know, that's not research. That's just looking at somebody else's research, perhaps. It's good to look at some stuff, yes, and it might lead you to somewhere, etc., etc., etc. But I wouldn't call that research. That's not real research. So I think on my own journey, the tide is turning, but I have a caveat, and it's what I'm trying to say, which I didn't think was coming on with Steve. Anyway, this is all just winging it here, folks, and we're just having a chat. But you're welcome to come on and have your say, or whatever you want to say, you know. I wish you all would. Now, but I can see that a lot of us are being played. that might not suit a lot of people hearing that. And I'm kind of afraid that there's this anti-everything, you know. You can't be anti-every single thing. There are reasons why certain things exist. There are reasons why certain things happen. And a lot of them can be very good reasons. A lot of them can be the nasty side. And but I do believe that there is a big evil out there. Whether it's Illuminati, I'm not so sure about the Illuminati thing, to be quite honest with you. But I'm getting more sure about the Freemason thing. And people say, they're not as influential as people might think. Well, when you start reading books written 100 years ago about royalty, talking about Freemasonry, in top positions around the world, but I'm not sure about Illuminati, you know, and this control mechanism. I think business is controlling things, whether they're Illuminati or not. And I think if you mention Illuminati, you can put yourself up to be pilloried. And some of it is guesswork. And we have some very, very clever people out there who are writing absolute nonsense. Absolute nonsense. All they're writing about is abstract, philosophical meditations that can't be proved one way or the other. I'm going to be using that term a lot more lately in the future.
Which one's that?
Abstract, philosophical meditation. The abstract.
Brilliant.
You know? And the abstract can't be quantified. We can look at it. We can enjoy certain things that are abstract. But there's a lot of abstract thinking, which is good. And I like abstract thinking. I like to a certain degree. What I don't like is people professing to be experts on it. There are people writing about civilizations that they know nothing about. It's all guesswork. There's individuals writing about supernatural and occult going back through the years. And they have no idea. They can't find anything related to it. They may have an idea about something. And that's fine to write about these things in a manner. But to say that it is fact, that's a different thing, you see. I also say, as I was just saying to, this is going to upset a few people. This huge surge in everybody wanting cannabis to be legalized. There was a discussion on the other night, and I was involved in that world for a long time. I went through the 60s in my youth. I've seen the hippies, I've seen the drugs, I've seen the gurus, I've seen all this hocus pocus woo stuff coming out, the Edgar Cayce prophecies, Timothy Leary endorsing LSD into the water. I've seen, you know, even the rise of the Beatles, Pink Floyds, and all these people who are maybe not what we think they are. They all burst onto the scene all of a sudden. I'm getting very doubtful about the whole thing, even though I love the music.
Oh, yeah. You know? I've been doubtful of it for a long, long time myself.
Yeah.
You know, that there's a reason why they call it the casting couch, John.
Yeah.
People that want fame and fortune and in the entertainment industry, they have to, they have to be born into certain families or they have to do certain things to get that fame and fortune.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. So, well, there's a few people putting in some stuff there. I can't read through it all. Thanks for that, Tiger and Graham and all the rest of it. Let's have a look at that. Okay. Simon Cowell, Freemason. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Here's one that really gets me.
Very good, Tiger.
Check
Did
this.
You see that link?
Check this photo out, John. I don't know if it's real or not, but, you know, it could be a fake photo, but it brings up an interesting discussion point there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Prolific child abuser. Oh, okay. They're accusations, aren't they? Hard to prove at this point. But definitely I'm seeing certain aspects of... simply because, folks, I'll tell you why. And it might sound like sour grapes to some people. I was in the music industry. Whatever. I was in the music. And I came across absolutely brilliant musicians. And I'm sure there are brilliant musicians in every locality, in every country, in every city. And... It's very, very difficult unless somebody decides that you're going to do something. It's not done. And unless you have an awful lot of money, it can't be done. And to me, there's a band in Ireland called U2, and that they prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that if you use a psychological aspect in people and put yourself out there to exploit and publicize yourself to the nth degree that for some reason, and then get the best producers in the world to do your albums and go to these studios that cost absolutely a fortune to put things together, which I don't mind that to an extent, you know, but I'm not sure whether it's honest. And they have written some fantastic songs. There is no doubt about that.
Well,
but when you're a struggling musician and people are playing, there's a lot of factors, of course, Ireland in particular, the amount of people who might be into rock and roll or rock or blues or anything like that, or eclectic music, would be pretty small in the overall scheme of things. The majority of people want the common, lowest common denominator, pop, you know, stuff like the Simon Cowell thing, not to the extreme that it is now, but maybe it was extreme at the time, we didn't realise it, you know, because it's all fresh and new. And so I think couple all that with this surge in everybody wanting marijuana to be legalised, that it's the best. I remember saying all these things myself. I remember being very vocal about that it should be legalised. I'm very vocal about all these things. A long time ago, folks. And I see a resurgence. It's like it's coming back around again, Steve. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Except this time, we have... Right, I'll say something about the marijuana thing. If people think at this stage that the marijuana that they're smoking, which I know is not the same as it was in the 60s, 70s, 80s, I know that for a fact, that there are absolutely tons of it coming into Ireland every week, tons and tons of the same strain, which is a very, very strong strain. And nobody can tell me that they are just guys like me and you, Steve, and all the guys in the chat box and girls in the chat box now growing little bits and a few plants here and there. It's impossible.
Is there something wrong with it, do you think? Or
I think it's yeah, they've cross-pollinated, they've changed their strains, they add glass fibers for weight, and it's almost like another laboratory now. And then I've been through all the arguments and debates with people, with concerned parents, with people who are users, with people who went on to more serious drugs. And in all the cases, I would have been an advocate for marijuana, you know, and saying that's safe. And this thing about nobody dies from marijuana, which that's ridiculous, you know. Nobody dies from drinking tea, but tea won't change our mind. It's not a mind-altering substance. Nobody can tell me that it's not being manufactured by powerful interests. And they still want to fool you into thinking that there are certain criminal aspects to it and they're the ones that are doing it all. There is no way that anybody can grow that much without people seeing it, without people knowing about it, and without it not getting the full consent of somebody somewhere. And they are now doing something, and we give out about Big Pharma. Well, the cannabis and that industry, there's two points I'm going to make. The Big Pharma and cannabis today are no different. Secondly, cannabis is not a gateway drug. Okay. I would have said so on many occasions. And I got into discussions with people who were trained, medical people, users, abusers, whatever, you know, over the years. People who are treating people who have serious problems from smoking, the stuff that's going around now. Serious problems. And to say that it's not a gateway drug, I would have said so myself. But I was listening to a discussion the other night, and I'm not giving out about all those people. However, they were saying it is not a gateway drug, and the conversation then went on to, I'd like to try LSD, or I'd like to try ayahuasca, and I'd like to try this, and I would like to try that. Well, if that's not gateway, what is? And now we have, cannabis oil is curing cancer. Well, every day now on Facebook, it seems that someone is picking up a seed somewhere, or a nut from an avocado, or, you know, some fruit or something. And if you eat this, it cures all cancers. And there's nobody doing proper studies, measuring it properly. You know, surely somebody can get volunteers and say, here, you try this and you try that, and do empirical studies on it. And if no government will pass properly marijuana or any other thing like that until there's empirical evidence that it does a particular thing. I know the Big Pharma arguments inside out. Yes, and if you don't have to take Big Pharma drugs, good. But there's always certain cases where there are extreme cases and people need certain drugs to help certain things. And I also see confusion about the different types of cannabis that's out there. I wonder. you needn't tell me, or nobody can tell me, that anybody is producing something for entertainment, whether it be alcohol, Pokemon, you name it, sweets, cigarettes, doesn't matter, films, movies, whatever. Once a lowest common denominator is reached on something, if you are making X amount of money on a pound or kilo of grass, you start living that lifestyle of that whatever profit is in that for you. Don't tell me that nobody is then cutting it and adding stuff to it and changing the effects of it somehow or other to gain more money from it. And that goes for all drugs, cocaine, LSD, all the other teched up drugs that are out there that are really destroying a lot of people. And everybody just thinks that a drug addict is a heroin addict. And we're supposed to be discerning people. And we're supposed to be responsible. And we're supposed to be adult about it. And I've had discussions with professionals. It's very interesting. And I don't think anybody has an answer. I don't have the answer. But your country is being flooded by these drugs. Whether it be cannabis, whether you like it. And to say that it doesn't affect you, fine. I don't believe.
You know, there's a really good reason why they introduced a lot of these drugs many, many years ago. They want control, you know. They have to have control somehow. And whether they're brainwashing you with a TV or keeping you calm with the drugs, they still trying to have control.
Exactly. You think that a businessman is looking at, he might have to deal in cement or tarmac at him, or build wooden furniture or forestry or something like that, which takes a long time to do, and there's only certain elements of it that so much business, and they're looking at all these so-called criminals, so-called making a fortune, maybe not, out of something that grows wild anyway. Do you not think a smart businessman is going to say, well, I think I'm going to have some of that?
Yeah.
And you have wads of money to do anything you like.
Well, there have been certain cases in the past where people, that's actually happened to them, but there are fewer and far between because for the most part, these drugs are made for us common people to get us hooked.
Mm-hmm. Graham, just let me say, John, you're ignoring the empirical evidence of hemp. I don't think so. Thousands of people have received huge health benefits for the common man. You don't take medicinal cannabinoids to get high. CBD is most potent. No psychoactive medicine. It's not pot. Well, there's a couple of things there, Graham. Hemp and the one that they make all the clothes out of and everything else is not the same. It doesn't have the THC in it. So this is what people are saying with the argument that hemp, you can make clothes out, you can make sails, they made ropes out of it, they make this with it, you can make a car with it, and you can make this with it and this. That hemp is industrial hemp. It does not have any THC content in it. I'm talking about the stuff that people get high with. And you're talking about medicinal cannabinoids, like the oils and stuff like that. I'm not sure about the empirical evidence of it. It's good to see that people are being cured of something. However, if everybody is being cured of cancer particularly, it should be easy to prove such and get the empirical evidence. And yeah, maybe Big Pharma doesn't want it to be that way. There is that argument as well. I'm just saying that it's not as clear-cut as a lot of people make it out to be. In fact, it's more complicated, and it always has been complicated. Because there's another fact that everybody's missing. The reason that alcohol is not sold to people under 18 years of age, and drugs like cannabis for use of for teen people under 18 years of age, is because your brain is developing. So even the other night, the guest on with Sherry was talking about that. Yes, it can enhance certain things in certain people. Okay, so you make it legal or illegal, it doesn't matter at this stage whether it's legal or illegal, and you have young teenagers smoking their brains out, and their brains are not fully developed, and it enhances some sort of a psychoactive aspect of their personality, which they don't know anything about, and it's not discovered until perhaps an injection of cannabis or an injection of ayahuasca or an injection of LSD or any of these other drugs, and people know about the other drugs where people conk out and dance floors and all the rest of them, die from dehydration and heart attacks and everything. There is no way that you can control that, and there's no way of knowing. So essentially, as adults, and you and I might like to have a smoke and think that it's great for us and it keeps us calm, and they use them in prisons to keep the population calm, etc., etc., which is all very good. But are you going to be the one that says, if you're in government, let's say myself and Steve are in government, are we going to be the ones to say, let's make it all legal? And every kid in the block, maybe 7, 8-year-old, 10-year-old, 11-year-old, etc., is smoking their brains out, particularly with the strains that are going about these days. And we all know that there's hundreds of strains of cannabis. To say that it's the same as hemp is wrong. To say that it's the same as cannabinoids is wrong. To say that it's the same as something else is wrong. And would you or I, Steve, would we be able to hold the responsibility of some child losing their mind or something happening to them because we said, yeah, let's make it legal because it will stop criminality? Because that's the main argument that people say. Take the money out of it from the criminals and make it legal. Is that an argument? Is it a real argument? Are the criminals so-called criminals, or are they criminals at all? Is the local fella who gives you your little bag of weed, is he a criminal? Or is he helping you to enjoy yourself because you want it? So in that case, are you aiding and abetting the criminality when it goes on further down the line, when those kids get too far into it and they get into trouble and maybe don't pay some bills? And some guy decides, well, I'm not going to get money off that guy, so we'll just get somebody to shoot him. And do you want to be part of that? Are you a part of that? No. But is it okay to say, well, I've been smoking weed for 50 years and it hasn't affected me, but here's another picture of my dinner?
Yeah. Well, you know, I knew a man that's deceased now, but I think he died in 2001. Or 2001 or the other, I can't remember now, but the only thing he did smoke was pot, and he died of cancer.
Well, I don't think that has anything to do with pot, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The pot, years ago, it was very rare that you got grass. You would eat, it was Lebanese, there was Afghanistan black, there was cannabis oil, would you believe that? Little foils, it was tiny little foils that you would put flint into. all that sort of stuff. That all seems to be gone by the board. And now this form of grass, the grass that was around in the early 70s, late 60s, and all the rest of it, is not the same grass as it is now.
Well, that's what I was kind of wondering, John, because, I don't want to say anything that hasn't been said already in the last couple of months, but I've been trying to hear lately, and, you know, I don't get the same kind of a feeling from the marijuana that's out there today is what was out there 20, 30 years ago. It just doesn't affect me like it used to.
Yeah.
I haven't gotten high yet, so I don't know. Hasn't really affected my brain much, so I don't know what to say.
I'm putting this out there, and I know it's an uncomfortable subject, and what I'm saying is uncomfortable. So for some people, and like Tiger, is saying, but how many people are ruined by cigs? Well, we're not talking about cigarettes.
Graham says it's probably a Monsanto derivative.
That's my point. How do you know, Graham?
Genetically modified,
I'm
yeah.
I'm not picking on Graham, or I'm not picking on Tiger. But there's no point in talking about cigarettes when we're talking about cannabis.
Yeah.
You know, and there's no point. I'm trying to have an adult conversation about it. And to put it down other rabbit holes is not the questions we should be asking ourselves. And the reality of it is, I don't know. Okay? And the reality of it is, the people in the chat box don't know either.
Yeah. Graham said, come visit him.
Yeah. Well, you see, there's another thing. I've heard of people coming back from America saying the grass over there is absolutely useless. You know. But I can tell you that the grass that's going around in Ireland today is very, very, very strong.
Huh.
I
used to go to concerts back in the 80s and that, John. And, that was pot passed around a lot then. And you would get what's called a contact high, contact buzz. And, that's happened quite a few times. But, I don't know, I just can't get high from this weed.
Well, you know, it might be colored green or something. Cabbage you're smoking.
Oh, goodness. Goodness, I hope not.
Well, I don't know. However, I bring it up because there's not much point in coming on and saying, ah, it's harmless. It's not harmless, folks. It's not. And if you have different degrees of potency in different variations of it, well, how are you supposed to know? How are you supposed to know? I think it's a great topic. I'm still waiting for answers, not from the chat box, but for years and years I've dealt with people. I've dealt with people who were in the addiction end of things, and very intelligent people, and people who would have gone through various aspects of things themselves, probably ran the gamut of all of that scene. But the reality is that if somebody is using cannabis and some part of their brain is enhanced that's doing them harm, when you go to get medically seen to, they won't see you, you know? They won't see you until you stop doing that.
Yeah.
And then they can determine whether there's something there or whether there isn't.
That's right. That's right. Because, well, over here in America, I'm not sure about over there, John, but they did pass a law, the Congress and the president signed it, said that only a doctor or a drug can cure disease. Mm-hmm. Only a doctor or only a big pharma drug can cure a disease.
Mm-hmm. I don't know about that either. You know, everything is questionable these days. This is the thing. And yes, I hope none of you have to have the choice between chemo or the cannabis oil. And I would absolutely recommend people to try the cannabis oil because it does seem to be working. As I say, seems to be working for certain aspects for some people. And yeah, chemo was toxic, and we all know the thing, but in some cases, I don't know. I can't say 100%, and I don't think anybody in the chat box can say 100% on anything either. Let's be fair. So, I knew this would probably, I'm not upsetting anybody. There's nobody getting upset with what I'm talking about. But everybody has their opinions on it. So I'm kind of playing the devil's advocate, which is a kind of a contrary position to be held in, to be holding these days, because we're in alternative media. We're supposed to just accept everything that's alternative.
Yeah, exactly.
That's questionable, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And we're also supposed to be here to tease these subjects out. And I get fearful, folks. I have to be honest. I get fearful when people come on radio, any radio station or anything, and go hell for leather on something that I don't quite agree with. And they're lumping one thing in with another and another thing in with another thing. And you have this big soup. But the reality is you've got to tease out the actual, take what the problem is and tease that out to the extent whether you either know or whether you don't know. And that's not happening with the cannabis discussion anywhere in the world that I can see. Some people just get very annoyed and say, well, Big Pharma are trying to kill us. Well, that's a big, broad, sweeping statement for a start. Yes, you could pick up any tablet and say whatever, that is this, that, and the other. However, in extreme cases, you know, where do people go? They go to hospitals, you know.
And they go to doctors, yep.
And they go to doctors. And to be fair to the alternative medicine, if you call it medicine or alternative ways of looking at things, I think a lot of that stuff works really, really well if you're not in an extreme predicament. That's my thoughts on it. If you're in an extreme, you know, you have a heart attack, smoking a joint's not going to help you.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, I I must say, I was having a lot of problems with my sugar for the last couple of years now, and I've been out to see Sherry twice, and you know, of course it's illegally, I've brought some marijuana back with me from Colorado, and I've been using it not very much, but every now and then, and my sugar numbers have dropped by two points. Hmm. Since the last time I was tested, like back in...
You've also changed your diet.
Yes, I have, yeah. And I've got a lot more exercise in the mixer also. So, it's been a culmination of all types of things.
Exactly. It's a combination, and it's good, and that's because you want to change, and you're open to suggestions. Some things will work, and some things may not work, and it's good that things are working. And yes, a lot of this stuff does. I was diagnosed diabetes. I think anytime anybody goes into the local hospital up here, everybody gets diagnosed with diabetes. And I remember the doctor saying, do you drink juices in the mornings? I said, no. Do you drink Coca-Cola? No, I don't really, no. Do you drink alcohol? No, I don't. I gave it all up years ago. Do you do this? No, I don't. No, I don't. And he says, you have diabetes. So I gave up sugar. And I don't know whether I still have it or not. But they gave me this thing to measure the blood sugar levels. And while I was in the hospital at the time, I was in there for something else with the heart, and the little thing that they give you to test your blood sugar levels, that was reading 5.6 or 6.5, you know. There's a marker between 4 and 7 or 8, you can go up to 9 or 10 perhaps, but and if you have any sort of infection, which I did have, and a chest infection, and goes there for something else, and that would bring up your sugar levels or the readings of your sugar levels. Yet this machine was reading within the scope of being okay. And this doctor came up and said, here, drink this. It's like a lemon or something tasting thing. They did the tests and all of a sudden you've got diabetes. But they give you the same machine to go home and measure your blood sugars, which is telling you the same thing as when you were in there. It doesn't make sense to me, you know. So I'm having my doubts about that. And I do question things, folks. I don't take everything verbatim.
Well, you know, I'm aware of the conspiracy, John. Like, we've only got about 4 or 5 minutes left here, but you know, diabetes has been allegedly, it's been up like 3,500% in the last 25 years. I don't think it's any kind of a mistake that all of the ingredients that are put into a lot of the foods nowadays that are canned and boxed, that very, very possibly could be a reason why diabetes is up.
Sure, absolutely. Everything is sugary and everything, you know. I don't know, but this is what you get when you go into these hospitals nowadays, and I am sort of looking at things in a different way all the time. And sometimes we just throw out the baby with the bathwater, particularly with the cannabis issue and drugs issue, you know. So anyway, I enjoyed that discussion. I hope everybody in the chat box did as well.
Yeah. Well, you know, I did tell you earlier, John, before we went on air, I think it's going to be a big indicator on one's personality, whether they have the, you know, whether they have the compulsive gene or anything like that, or whether they have the adrenaline junkie gene, on how they're going to do with these different drugs. Because I'm sure that there are lots of people out there that can say, yeah, marijuana was a gateway drug for me, and then I tried heroin, then I tried LSD and acid and yada, yada, yada. This one, that one, the other one. And I'm sure that there are tons of people out there that can just say, yeah, I've only done marijuana, and that's it. Nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, to me, I think it's really going to depend on the man or the woman or the boy or girl, whatever.
Exactly. There is that element as well, which is, you know, another element that's very hard to gauge or to quantify.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, difficult. It was brilliant you coming on, John.
I really enjoyed it, and I got a lot off my chest as usual. And yeah. I probably raised a few hackles, but no, the people in the chat box have been very kind to me. Thanks for all your contributions, Tiger and Graham and everybody in there. Great stuff. As I say, it's a conversation, and food for thought, I suppose, you know.
That's right, that's right. So we only
we'll
got
see y'all next Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday. I'll be here. John will be here. Sean or Dell or whoever, right?
Kira's up next.
Yes, she is. Stay tuned for Kira, everyone. And thanks for coming out, John.
Yeah. You're very welcome, Steve. Thanks for having me.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
And that's basically the end of my show there, everyone. It was good to be on live with John. I appreciate him coming on. I would appreciate anyone coming on, actually. I haven't been deliberately trying to get guests for the Tuesday night show because I would just like to talk to anyone over there every single week, whether it's Dell or, I don't know, Mark or Graham or Cotty or John or whoever. I don't really care about a lot of other people that are doing this kind of stuff. I just rather talk to somebody over there every single week. So I'm not sure. I think Vin might be around. I sent him a message earlier, but he hasn't. He has seen it. He is green online, so I think he might be running Kira's show. So I'll see what's going on. If he doesn't run it quick, I will. So thanks everyone for coming out. And see you next week.